New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
And we want to welcome you in tonight to a very special edition of the Big E Sports Show right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, where we always deliver the biggest and the very best in sports. This evening, we have secured one of the most recognizable names in basketball. He is the managing director of the USA Men's National Team, and that is Jerry Colangelo. It is such an honor to have him with us tonight, as we are very anxious to get his insight, his perspective on the USA National Team as they are getting set for the team training camp coming up in Las Vegas, July 28th through August the 1st. And we sincerely appreciate you, Jerry, carving out time to visit with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be with you, and it's always fun to talk about basketball in particular. But USA basketball is very close to my heart, and we're about ready to throw the ball up in the air, so it's exciting.
That's right. It's time to lace it up, and our first order of business is let's get our listeners familiar with the 19 players from which the 2014 USA World Cup will be selected, who are now confirmed to participate. I mean, you've got some outstanding talent. The features Kevin Durant to Kyrie Irving. The roster's not been solidified, but what excites you the most about the players that you've assembled?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting process. When I took over USA Basketball in 2005, one of the things I wanted to do was establish a national team roster, which would be fluid. And it would be from that roster we could select the players who participate, you know, in the actual competition, be it the World Cup or the Olympics, etc. And so by having a large pool of players, it gives us a lot of flexibility. And during the course of this time, I'll turn the clock back, if you don't mind,
sure,
to say that in 2008, when we won the gold medal in Beijing in the Olympics, we had 12 players. But in 2010, we had 12 new players who represented us in the World Championships in Istanbul, and we won the gold medal. And then in London, it was a split roster. So I think each competition will be turnover of 5 or 6 players, which keeps the system very fluid.
Well, you got to love that this roster is comprised of prior USA basketball experience. When you're talking about a Durant, a Harden, and a Love, I mean, these guys were members of the 2012 U.S. Olympic gold medal team.
Yeah, every one of the individuals has had some exposure to USA basketball, and we plug them in early when we can, you know, 16 and under, 17 and under, so they become familiar with the culture. And by the way, one of the things I respected when I looked around the world internationally is that we had lost our spot, you know, in terms of respect back in 2004 in the mm-hmm. Olympics in Greece, where we finished third. And some of the other countries had done a really good job of creating a strong culture. And I think we've done that now. And we've tried to do it with humility, because we know that when you think you're unbeatable, that's when it could happen.
The managing director of the USA Men's National Team, Jerry Colangelo, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. And Jerry, you said, you know, you took over in 2005, and one thing that you have stressed is the importance of continuity within the roster, within the coaching staff. And I have to ask you,
Yes. How
much does that help in terms of having that familiarity with fostering team chemistry?
I can't say enough about that in terms of what Coach K brought to the equation. In selecting a coach, there were some outstanding candidates, but he kind of fit the bill in my mind in terms of leadership, in terms of experience, in terms of relationships, where he is so strong. And when you have that continuity on the coaching staff, and of course his top assistant is Jimmy Boeheim, another Hall of Famer mm-hmm. from Syracuse University. And this year we've changed two assistant coaches, Tom Thibodeau at Chicago and Monty Williams at New Orleans will be two new additions to our staff. And we felt that it was good timing to make a change there. So fluidity is the word, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, then it really does go hand in hand, talking about continuity that we've been hitting on. I mean, the players, they have so much respect, and they have trust in Coach K and his ability to bring out the best, not only as an individual, but collectively as a group. I mean, you've got that type of equity that's built up.
Yes, and we honor equity. People who have put in the time, and one thing, Lisa, I would tell you is that, you know, having been in the NBA for as long as I was, 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
I really do understand how valuable the players are in terms of assets, and we really watch out for them. I truly believe that they're better off with us in the summer than they are on their own, because they're more prone to have an injury take place playing in a pickup game than they would under our direction, because we're very conscious of not overworking them and being very protective of our players.
You know, Jerry, when I step back and look at the impact of your leadership, your guidance, I mean, you really have. We have to tip our hat to you, because I think you've just done an amazing job rebuilding the U.S. Olympic men's basketball program. You had referenced the disappointing 2004 bronze medal effort. Just take us back to, I mean, how important and critical it was with the hiring of Mike Krzyzewski and just having him preside over the best players in the game.
Well, listen, in 04, we had a number of players who backed out of participation at the very last minute. And so we had a roster with some young players who really hadn't earned the spot yet. And that included Amari Stoudemire and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo, mm-hmm. and LeBron. They didn't deserve it or earn it at that time. So they sat on the bench. They didn't play very much. It was a funny group of individuals representing us. And so it was not even just finishing third. It was the attitude. It was the what it looked like. And people around the world really actually booed us. And that hurt. That hurt deeply. Those of us who have a passion for the game, who really care, you know, and I made statements like, I'm proud to be an American. I'm very, very upset about how people are looking at us as Americans, as athletes, and in particular as basketball people, and we were going to change that. And I think we've done that. And it's been a collective effort on the part of a lot of people, but when Coach K and I joined together, we joined each other at the hip. And I think an awful lot of good things have happened since.
Well, the culture certainly did change, because we think back to Team USA in 2008, bringing home the gold. I mean, a roster comprised of just incredible stars, LeBron, Kobe, Carmelo, Jason Kidd. Talk to us some more about how Coach K, he was able to establish a set of standards, and these guys understanding this is something larger than themselves, for them to truly embrace the concept of team and have that pride.
I remember the first team meeting we had for that 08 team. We joined together at training camp and opened the door for the team meeting, and I made the announcement, I hope you left your egos at the door, because right from this point on, uh-huh. It's about us. It's not about you. And one of the things I'm so proud of in terms of our players, they really have given themselves up for the common good, for the cause. A little thing I did was like the names on the jerseys. I de-emphasized the size of the lettering of the names, but I re-emphasized USA. That became much bigger. That became the issue. That became what we were playing for. And the buy-in was incredible on the part of all the players. And you look at Coach K's background, you know, as a West Point grad, he played there, he coached there for a short time. We talk about selfless service, and that's what our players have been doing since the program was taken over. And I give so much credit to Coach K because of his leadership qualities.
USA Basketball Chairman Jerry Colangelo is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. We are up against the break. We're going to be right back with much more in just a moment. The Managing Director of the USA Men's National Team, an exclusive interview this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That, of course, is Jerry Colangelo. And I have to ask you, I mean, this takes tremendous commitment by Coach K, by the staff, being the head coach of the USA, the national team, of course, being named that position, what, in 2005. Was there ever any concern that he might not come back? I mean, what keeps him re-energized? What keeps those juices flowing?
Well, you have to understand, we're both Chicago kids
okay.
at heart.
Uh-huh.
At heart.
Yeah.
You know, elderly Chicago kids. But, you know, he's from the Polish neighborhood. I'm from the Italian neighborhood. We have a lot in common. His coach in college, Bobby Knight, was a contemporary of mine. We competed against each other in college basketball. I almost hired him twice early on in his career to coach in the NBA at a time when I thought he'd be successful. So Coach is the guy who, without question, needed to be the one to join with me. I was looking for someone to jump in the foxhole, quite honestly, to start this journey, and it turned out to be just great.
Does he coach Olympic teams different than the way he coaches at Duke?
Yeah, he'd be the first one to tell you he's a better coach today because of the experience. His relationships with the players, he actually got to the point where he was giving them much more room and latitude, and he began to understand that he could translate that even to the college game. You know, your earlier question about, you know, after his first run and we won the Olympics, the question was, well, now what? Well, it took a pizza and a glass of wine in Chicago in the wee hours, and he re-upped for another 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, when that was done in London, he announced he was finished. And the media said, well, now what? And I said, well, he may have told you that, but he didn't tell me that. And so a couple of weeks later, we met. We put everything on the shelf until the end of the season. And then we had another meeting, not with pizza and wine, but something similar, and he re-upped yet again. So that's the kind of relationship we have.
Hey, we are having a wonderful conversation this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with Jerry Colangelo, the Managing Director of USA Men's National Team. And, of course, I touched on the veteran players, KD and Kevin Love, being a part of this roster. But how helpful is it to have a coach that can relate to the younger players, you know, players that are just a few years removed from the college game? You got to love in terms of that versatility that Coach K's got.
No question. And by the way, even for camp this week, we have like 13 younger players. We call the select group of players.
That's right.
Who are kind of the next wave, you know, of players. And they're fresh out of college or 1 year in the NBA. And so the college coaching fraternity, they're quite familiar with the young studs coming up because they went through the recruiting with all of them, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years. And there are relationships that exist. And it's pretty easy for young players to get together with a guy like Jimmy Boeheim and Coach K because there's so much respect. One of the key words here, outside of passion, is respect. And when you have mutual respect, you have a chance to do something very special.
Jerry Colangelo with us a few more minutes at Yahoo Sports Radio. And this really is such an exciting time in terms of the NBA with so many fresh young stars that are emerging that aspire to be a part of the national team, keep going for the gold. You know, when you have a roster that's comprised of younger players, I mean, what kind of crossover? I mean, how does that translate to international basketball? Because that's a completely different game in terms of the physicality.
Well, when you throw young kids 16 and under, and they're playing international basketball, and 17 and under, and 19 and under. I mean, all of a sudden, they have years of experience, so it's nothing new. If you were to throw young players into international play without any prior experience, that would be like throwing them to the wolves, and we would never do that. And so it's, you know, it's great to say we are the defending gold medalists in every age category, men and women,
wow,
in the world. So we've reestablished ourselves. We have a great pipeline. people want to represent their country. They want to be part of this. And it puts us in a great situation. The important thing is to show respect, keep working, keep focusing on maintaining the position we're in. And that becomes challenging. So this summer in the World Cup in Spain, when we're playing on Spain's home court with their crowds, that's going to be a big challenge for us.
You know, the talented pool of players that when we look at this roster, they're versatile. They can play multiple positions, 2 to 4 positions on the floor. You've got the quickness, the athleticism. But, Jerry, what about size? What about the bigs? I mean, especially, how much does that matter in international competition?
It depends. You know, if you look at how we're going to match up against most teams internationally, we're going to be okay. I've always said I believe in athleticism and quickness and shooting ability to overcome size all day long. And I think in most cases that's exactly what will happen. But you could run up against a team, let's take Spain, the Gasol brothers and Ibaka. That's a pretty strong front line. They're very deep. And that will be a challenge. And so when we go through the selection process regarding our roster, we have to prepare for every eventuality. And that might mean that we carry an extra big this time around.
Well, Jerry, we are flat out of time, and I understand what your first exhibition game will be August the 1st. Is that correct?
That's correct, in Las Vegas, and we're looking forward to that. But, you know, once we get together, it's like we've never been gone. You know, it's... You're starting all over again, and yet you're not. So it's a fun time.
Jerry, what an honor it is to have you with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Of course, the managing director of the USA Men's National Team. We wish you all the best of luck. And hopefully, Jerry, we'll talk to you here real soon again, okay?
Thanks again, Alyssa.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR. Join us online on Twitter at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back. Okay, we are so glad you made it a point to join us on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and we want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. As promised, it is time now for our conversation. We're going to hit the hardwood. We're going to get some NBA news and notes, and it's a pleasure to welcome in one of the guys I actually had an opportunity to visit with during my recent time in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League, and that is Steve Kuyler, the managing editor and publisher for Basketball Insiders. How are you, Steve? Steve, it's good to have you with us on this Friday night.
Well, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, we've got a ton of ground and topics that I want us to hit on. But first and foremost, let's get your take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Love, and the speculation surrounding his desire to separate and to move on from Minnesota. I mean, kind of give us the skinny in terms of when is the expected departure supposed to take place and what team, in your estimation, might be the best fit?
Well, this one's been kind of brewing for a while. Kevin's made it pretty clear that, you know, he has an option for free agency next July, so basically after next season. And he's made it pretty clear that he's going to make that option for free agency, very much like Carmelo Anthony did with the New York Knicks. So he's going to leave about $16.5 million, $16.3 million on the table for the chance to get into free agency and redo his deal. And, you know, the threat of free agency seems to be what gets guys traded. And really where Minnesota's at is they kind of understand that they're likely going to lose Kevin. He's not overly enamored with being part of that team going forward, wants to be on a winning team. And that started this fervor of teams trying to pry him out of Minnesota. And it's been, you know, the names you've heard, Cleveland, the Golden State Warriors, the Chicago Bulls. You know, Kevin's a great player. He's a double-double machine, arguably one of the best players at his position at power forward. So Minnesota's really being deliberate with this. They're certainly playing each team against each other in terms of making it known what's being offered, trying to drum up the price. And, you know, Minnesota's stance has been from the very beginning that they have the best player in anything that's being offered to them, and you can only trade him once. So from their viewpoint is, you know, they're going to take their time, make sure they get maximum value out of Kevin Love, and if that means this thing rolls into training camp, then it's going to roll into training camp. But a number of the teams that are at the table, specifically the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers, would like to get closure on this one way or the other. So I think we're going to hear something here in the next 30, 45 days, at least by way of a verbal agreement. We'll see an actual transaction occur after some of these rookie contracts clear in 30 days.
Steve, you're right. The Bulls have expressed interest in acquiring Kevin Love. Obviously, as you're talking about, he's a double-double machine. He is a big-time player. We know what he can do in terms of his execution offensively. He's a great rebounder, great at pursuing the ball. But what about defensively? Because if you're in a Tom Thibodeau system, you better be ready to play some D.
Well, it also would help that you've got a guy like Joakim Noah that's really willing to anchor the paint, and you've got guys like Jimmy Butler if he stays, and certainly the mindset in Chicago is very different than anywhere that Kevin Love has played. And I think we do this a lot is, you know, you ask a guy to go score 35 and then we beat him up because he's not great defensively. If he doesn't have to score 35, he can be more engaged defensively. But, you know, we've seen guys like this, you know, elite level scorers generally are at best average defenders, and you just have to fill in around that. And I think that's where some of Chicago's depth and certainly some of Chicago's scheming would help a Kevin Love. But I don't think Kevin Love's ever going to be an all defensive player. It's just not where he's wired. He's wired to be an elite scorer, and he does that as well as anybody.
Okay, we are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you at E Radio Sports, going one-on-one, taking him to the hoop. That is Steve Kyler. He is with Basketball Insiders. We want to pause. Steve, tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can go and check out all your guys' articles online.
Sure. You head to basketballinsiders.com. We cover the NBA 365, 7 days a week. You know, anything that's going on in the league, you'll find it at Basketball Insiders.
Okay, of course, you were out at Summer League, and we got a nice sampling and a display of Andrew Wiggins. Should the Cavs be eager to trade Wiggins for Love? I mean, he is one of the promising rookies and has so much upside and a big-time future in the NBA.
Well, I think it comes down to what's most important to you today. Is it competing for a championship while you've got LeBron James in the prime of his career? Or is it maybe taking a year or two and letting some of these young guys develop and then being able to compete, you know, pretty much every year for the balance of LeBron's career? I think the mindset is win now. You know, there's nothing guaranteed. Everybody's an injury away. We saw what happened with Derrick Rose after winning MVP. It's taken him 2 years to get back to a point where he can play. So you don't want to waste somebody's career, and you certainly don't want to waste an opportunity. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, if the Cleveland Cavaliers have a healthy Kyrie Irving, a healthy LeBron James, and Kevin Love, they're as formidable as anyone, and then you've got a great coach like David Blatt. So it really does kind of come down to what's your priority. Is it win now, or is it about the future? If it's about the future, you absolutely hang on to an Andrew Wiggins. But I think when you got LeBron, and it was the gift of all gifts for Cleveland, you have to change your mindset a little bit and get into win now mode. And, you know, the fact that you could maybe obtain Kevin Love for Anthony Bennett, a future first-round pick, and Andrew Wiggins, that's not a ton to give up to get what you're going to get in terms of a win now scenario where you could really put yourself in the driver's seat in terms of being an NBA Finals contender.
But, Steve, as we look ahead long-term, I mean, who would you rather have, Wiggins or Love?
Well, I think in the long term, Andrew Wiggins, but the problem is there's so many things we don't know about Andrew, and you saw it in Summer League, you mentioned, there were moments where Andrew's just breathtaking. It's just amazing mm-hmm. what he can do physically, but then there are moments you're like, oh, he's still on the floor, and that's kind of the problem is, you know, you don't know what he's going to be. You don't know if he's going to be, you know, the next LeBron James or the next Tracy McGrady. You know, Tracy would give you 50 one night and give you 13 the next. And, you know, from a Cavalier point of view, when you've got the number one guy, you know, again, I say if you've got LeBron James, you make the deal for Kevin Love. If you don't have LeBron James, you hang on to Andrew Wiggins. I don't think you need to do both because LeBron still has 6 or 7 years of really good basketball left in him, and the fact that he wants to be in Cleveland long-term despite his contract, you know, for me, I'm going all in and hoping that not only does Kevin Love come in and make us a contender, but Kevin Love comes in and signs long-term and makes us a contender very much like LeBron had in Miami.
Well, one of the things that was so evident in Summer League, I mean, we know Andrew Wiggins, he's destined to be an elite, I think, NBA defender. I mean, he led his team in blocks and steals. I mean, he's got such a great feel for the game, and I just love how steady he is and just that sense of calm that he has. He never panics.
And that's sometimes the problem is, you know, you'd like to see a little more fire. You'd like to see a little more aggression from him. And just to kind of counterbalance Jabari Parker going number two to the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, what Jabari doesn't have in Andrew's talent, he has in that competitive fire. And, you know, that's some of the problem with Andrew is that, you know, he really hasn't taken a lot of this basketball very seriously. And I'm interested to see how it plays out in the NBA. You know, we've seen guys who get into the NBA and really get challenged both physically and emotionally and respond well. Kevin Durant, you know, came in out of Texas and was a little bit, you know, sheepish and kind of timid about some things, and he turned into one of the best players on the planet. You know, so you wonder if that's what the future has for Andrew Wiggins. I think it's very possible, but again, I don't think we know it. I think there are things you know, and I think you know what you get in a Kevin Love. But as you mentioned, Andrew right away is going to be an impact player in terms of his length and his ability to defend, and I think his offensive game and his ability to carry a team is something that's going to evolve. Remember, this kid just turned 19, so he's still kind of a baby in all sense of the word, and you know, he'll grow into a very interesting player, assuming he can find the right situation and the right fit.
You are listening to the voice of Steve Kuyler. He is with Basketball Insiders right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our time is quickly flying by. So what were some of your most impressive takeaways from 2014 from Summer League? What stands out in your mind the most from some of the players?
Well, you know, this year it was kind of, everybody was kind of what I thought they were going to be. You know, the second-year players really looked like second-year players. Glenn Rice Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, you just run down the list, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in Orlando. You know, the second-year guys really took the opportunity to take these extended minutes and these extended touches and make the most of them. And I think some of our top-tier rookies this year looked the part. I mean, we didn't get to see Joel Embiid, but, you know, Nerlens Noel got a chance to get on the floor. We'll call him a rookie this year. He looked really good. You know, Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins looked really good. And Dante Exum, the kid from Australia that the Utah Jazz obtained, it looked really good. I think everybody, there wasn't a lot of huge disappointments for me. Maybe it's because I cover them so closely, but at the same time, I think who I was expecting to have very good years or very good summers really did. And I think some of the Chicago Bulls players, namely Tony Snell, really impressive in how far he's come from last year to this year. But, you know, there were quite a few guys that really put on tape who they are.
We are flat out of time. Steve Kuyler has been with us from Basketball Insiders. And, you know, you mentioned the Chicago Bulls. They missed out on Carmelo Anthony, but they landed Pau Gasol with that 3-year, $22 million deal. And I think this instantly boosts the Bulls as one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. So we will invite you back and we'll get into that. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Anytime.
You bet. Much more at YSR. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com right here inside the Quicken Loans studios as we continue to break down some of the NBA's biggest winners in free agency. And, of course, one of those teams that made quite a splash in 2014 and the summer worth remembering is the Dallas Mavericks. It is time now to head to Dallas. We're going to visit with our friends from RF Sports and RFSports.com who's been tracking those Mavericks very, very closely, and that is Rodney Fisher. Good evening, Rodney.
Good evening.
Well, I am confident you're all smiles after some of those savvy moves and those calculated risks that certainly paid very big dividends for the Mavericks. So what's the buzz up there?
Oh, the buzz is incredible. It's starting out with getting Tyson Chandler back in the fold, having him come back to Dallas. That's been a huge, big uplift for all the Maverick fans. Then, of course, getting Chandler Parsons and a great deal by Mark Cuban. Any additions they made on top of that. So the mood is very, very high for Maverick fans. And of course, we're going to see the benefits, hopefully, once the season starts.
Well, yes, in my estimation, the Mavericks certainly one of the winners in free agency. And, Rodney, I really believe this is going to be a roster that's going to surprise a lot of folks. And I'm not just talking about in the Western Conference. I mean, overall, I mean, they're going to take care of some business.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they did two great things. One, really gave another offensive weapon for Dirk to have with Chandler Parsons. And then, of course, showing up the defense by bringing in Tyson Chandler as a defensive stopper in their starting lineup. And I think they did some great things in terms of getting the bench back where they needed it to be. If you think about that 2011 team that won, one of the things that they really had that no one talks about is the great bench play for some of the veterans that they brought in,
Yeah. Like
Peja Stojanovic and also Deshaun Stevenson, players like that they had that they could rely on to come in and give them that good 10 minutes, 12 minutes of basketball play, especially in the playoffs. And being so close to going to Game 7 with San Antonio, they knew that they had a chance to catch this window with Dirk in his last couple of years to really have a special team. And they made some great improvements to the roster overall. And like you said, I hope it pays out big for them.
Well, of course, when you reflect back on that 2011 team, that world championship, it was a team that had a tremendous amount of depth. And as you're talking about Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson, I mean, they really get the gold star because they achieved those off-season objectives. What else do they need to accomplish before the start of the season?
Well, I think right now they need time to gel. They got to figure out a way to incorporate all these different players and get them on the same page. Also, too, they have to make a decision on what they're going to do with their young players like Ricky Lito, Gal Mecco, who both played in the summer league,
okay,
and try to figure out how they can kind of incorporate them into this mix, or would they be a part of this team. I think also, too, they need to add a few more pieces or even make a sure decision on Sean Marion, who we hope has a chance to come back, although reports say he won't. But make a decision on him and also see if they can bring in a couple of more players just to fill out the roster and make it competitive going into training camp.
Okay, we're in Dallas, Texas, going one-on-one with Rodney Fisher from RF Sports, rfsports.com. And, Rodney, I mean, what kind of improvement might we anticipate going into next year? I mean, of course, in the regular season, the Mavericks, 49 wins, and they pushed the Spurs to that playoff brink, elimination brink of a seven-game series. What can we look for?
Well, I could definitely look for them being a 50-win team for sure with this roster if everyone stays healthy, of course. I can see them definitely being another playoff team, and that says a lot for a Western Conference team to even make the playoffs with some of the improvements that other teams have made. But I think they're going to really be a surprise team, and depending on where they finish in the Western Conference, I can see them getting past even the first round of playoffs. I mean, they took the championship team to seven games with a roster that was not as good as the one they have now. And if they can move up in position to get out of that eighth seed and get into a five or six seed, they have a great chance of advancing past the first round of the playoffs. And for the Mavericks, you have to know that if they get in the playoffs, anything can happen. I mean, we saw that 2011 team, and we didn't know they're going to make it all the way to a final, let alone finally win a final over the Miami Heat. And if they can get into the playoffs, anything can happen at that point.
And, of course, last year the Mavericks were one of the top offensive teams in the league. And when you have a roster comprised of players like Dirk, Monte Ellis, and now the addition of Chandler Parsons, that is a very impressive big three in its own right. And I can promise you they're going to have teams scrambling and on their heels defensively.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They also added Aminu from New Orleans yesterday or this week. And he's a defensive player. He's not an offensive guy at all, but he plays great defense. He can guard people at the four and at the three as well. So we know he's going to come in and play a big role on this team. And Rick Carlisle, of course, does a great job of putting guys in position to succeed. They've been talking with Jameer Nelson. He could be a veteran presence as well. So I like the mix of what they're doing. They're putting together a right kind of roster that can win now, especially with Dirk and him being such a good player and a good real mentor to these guys by taking such a low deal for 3 years. That ensures that they can be competitive for the next 3 years as well.
And they're putting together a roster, assembling a roster that has got a lot more youth that's infusing that. We're obviously seeing that with Chandler Parsons. I mean, the guy is only 25.
Right. And he's ready. And, you know, he's so excited. I remember covering him last year. I went down to a Rockets game.
And
he was just so excited about playing this season, especially his first season with Dwight Howard and with James Harden. And for him to average 16 points on that team, a team that, let's just say, doesn't share the ball very well, a high-performing offensive team, for him to average 16 points, not coming to Dallas and being a big focal point of that offense outside of Dirk, he's got a chance to really, really shine and really put his stamp on his career.
Well, there's so many things to love about him in terms of his versatility, just that combination with him and with Dirk. But when you look ahead, Rodney, could he be the face of this franchise? I mean, what is your belief in terms of that?
That's the big question mark, is can he live up to that $45 million? Can he be the guy that can be the one that gets the torch from Dirk to kind of take this team into the future? He has the opportunity. He has a season at this point for himself. Does he have the skill set to do it? I believe he does. He can shoot outside. He can go to the hole if he needs to. He can be a great team player. He can be a big ambassador off the court as well. The ball is in his court, so to speak, to see if he wants to take that challenge and Dirk is a good mentor to help him elevate his game to that level. So I think he can be, and it just kind of remains to be seen what he's going to do and how quickly he can do it.
Well, he's got that youth, the scoring, the versatility. But one of the things that's been observable, this is a guy that's got a lot of charisma. He's got a dynamic personality, and I think he's going to be able to recruit and attract other big-time free agents.
That's going to be the goal. I mean, when they signed that deal with him and made that offer sheet for him before free agency really began, the one move that Mark Cuban did to kind of stir the pot a little bit so we could finally get some deals done. By making that commitment like he did, that really said a lot about what they think he's capable of doing and what they expect from him as well. So if he can continue to play into that role and fit the way he needs to fit with this team, the sky's the limit for Chandler.
Okay, Rodney Fisher is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, having a wonderful conversation. In fact, we were talking about his Dallas Mavericks, and we want to hear from you at Twitter, at @eRadioSports. And just a couple more hits on Chandler Parsons. I mean, I'd mentioned that he's only 25, now going to be under an elite coach like Rick Carlisle's system. That, to me, is going to be really fascinating to watch how he is going to evolve. And, you know, Coach Carlisle, throughout the years, has really proven his ability to grow up and to mature young players. And I think his system tailors his game beautifully.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you look at what he's done with just Monte Ellis in a short period of time, and this is a guy that we didn't know how he was going to act when he came to Dallas. We've heard different things about him in the locker room and how he's worked with different coaches over his career. We didn't know if he's going to really be able to tame himself from shooting the ball so much. And we saw his elevation of his game just in one season last year, in the playoffs especially, where he was able to be that 1-2 punch with Dirk, and he's really played a more controlled game, but he's also been able to score when he needs to score. And just by judging from that, what Rick has been able to do, we know what he can do with Chandler Parsons, a guy that every coach has always said he's one of those players that likes to practice, likes to understand the game. He's, of course, going to be a part of the USA national team, so he's going to be working with good coaches there as well. So he's got a huge opportunity here, and Rick knows that.
You know, also with the Mavericks, they would not have been able to make that move and to be able to acquire Chandler Parsons without Dirk taking a big pay cut in order to be able to build up their roster. I mean, you really got to tip your hat to him. And it's just that type of loyalty just to see that from Dirk and even from Timmy Duncan with San Antonio.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what else can Dirk do to prove that he is the greatest Maverick? I mean, not only does he bring a championship to town, he spends his whole career here, takes a very, very admirable deal to keep the team competitive over the next 3 years. I mean, this guy here has got to be the face of not just the Mavericks here in Dallas, but the face of Dallas sports, period, for what he's been able to do. And I think they can't thank him enough. Number one, I look forward to hopefully having a big statue of Dirk on one leg, leaning back in front of the AAC. Because that's what he's done for this franchise and for this city.
Listen, you be safe, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big East Sports Show.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.